This is KNBA News. I'm Ellen Lockyer, in for Jacqueline Estes. Two companion bills now in Congress would amend the Federal Voting Rights Act. Bipartisan legislation to modernize the act was introduced on January 16th to the U.S. House and Senate. Certain provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act were struck down by the United States Supreme Court in June of last year. Under the old law, Alaska was the only non-Southern state required to submit changes in its election practices for federal approval, a process called preclearance. The legislation that was just introduced creates a new formula for determining which states must obtain preclearance before making any changes to their election laws, but critics are calling the bill too weak. Alaska Senator Mark Begich says the new Voting Rights Act has to be strengthened to protect the voting rights of Alaska Natives. Begich is telling senators that last year's U.S. Supreme Court decision eroded protections for Alaska Natives. Begich says he is working with Alaska Native groups to develop a bill that will address the preclearance requirements under the Voting Rights Act. Begich says the final bill must prevent practices that have occurred in Alaska in recent years, including closure of polling places, removal of absentee voting or early voting opportunities and the decrease or removal of language assistance for voters who speak a language other than English. The Alaska Heritage Institute has chosen six teams of Tlingit speakers and students to revitalize the Tlingit language over the next 3 years. Teams in Juneau, Yakutat, and Sitka will train on mentor-apprentice language methods. The Institute has made native language revitalization a priority, according to the organization's president, Rosita Wuerl. Wuerl says there is only about 200 Tlingit speakers left, and most of them are elderly. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is asking for a public comment on guidelines updating the effects of human-made sounds on marine mammals. Lisa Fu has the story.
Marine mammals rely on their sense of sound for survival.
They use it for feeding and locating mates and just generally understanding what's going on in the world around them.
NOAA fisheries biologist Amy Scholick-Schlomer is an acoustic specialist. She says the guidelines update the levels at which human-made sounds affect marine mammals temporarily and permanently. NOAA calls these threshold shifts. A marine mammal experiencing a temporary threshold shift is like going to a rock concert.
Your hearing's temporarily affected, but it fully recovers. While permanent threshold shift would be something that your hearing is affected, but it doesn't fully recover. You have some permanent loss.
Brad Smith is a marine mammal biologist with NOAA in Anchorage. He says acoustic impacts on marine mammals are pertinent to Alaska, especially to the oil and gas industry.
We have seismic geophysical surveys, which introduce very, very loud sounds into the water in areas where we have endangered and threatened species and marine mammals in general, notably the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas, and more recently here in Cook Inlet.
The construction industry also needs to be aware of the sounds it creates.
The Port of Anchorage, certainly the Kavada crossing, the bridge if it's built, all those construction activities that involve pile driving or placing sheet pile, possibly others such as dredging, anything that creates in-water noise in areas where marine mammals exist may potentially generate enough noise to cause that animal to be harassed.
Smith says activities involving operating a vessel, like running a loud outboard motor, don't reach the same levels of in-water noise. How sounds affect marine mammals is still an emerging science, and Scholick-Schlomer says there are gaps in research. The public comment period on the updated acoustic guidelines ends January 27th. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
The Regional Native Corporation for Southeast Alaska says it will resume minerals exploration. See, Alaska has decided to restart a minerals exploration program that was stopped in 2000 after a decline in metals prices. Executive Vice President Rick Harris says higher metal and rare earth minerals prices rekindled interest in the mine, so did the progress made by the Niblack and Bokan mines on Prince of Wales Island. Harris says there's a pretty high degree of receptivity in Southeast communities for well-done mineral exploration and possible development. 2 weeks ago, Sea Alaska hired a minerals manager and is planning an outreach and exploration program on Prince of Wales Island. For KNBA News, I'm Ellen Lockyer.